This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Here comes the payoff pitch, and Lankford swings and belts one. Straightaway left, that's on its way. That ball is history. Well above the bullpen and left, a leadoff homer for Wyatt Lankford. The Rangers grab a quick 1-0 lead.
Wyatt early, Higgy late. He ends up being the hero as the Rangers steal one from the Kansas City Royals to finally get a W in this series, 6-3. It was a bullpen win after a very, very rough start in a 30-minute first inning because Jacob DeGrom was scratched coming back here in Texas. Bruce Bochy missing this game and maybe today's for personal reasons, but the Rangers 2 games under .500 after the 6-3 win. This is Sean and Bobby on your home for Rangers baseball.
It's a great win. That is not a win they've gotten enough of this year. One where they get the early run on the board, but then after that they fall down 3-1 and they just consistently claw all night long, and getting the 8 shutout innings from the bullpen after that first inning was huge, and then getting the clutch hit, especially with the 2 outs. You get Wyatt to get on base to, you know, with the walk after the 2 outs. Then you get the little luck hits where you get Seager and Semien, and then Higashioka just smokes that baseball. That was that was a good win. There's not much you can complain about.
And there, they got breaks. They got breaks with the small ball with Semien and Seager, both with infield incidents. Seager's was mishandled twice, and then Seager with the lucky infield hit to keep things alive with 2 outs. They are 6.5 back in the West, 5 games back in the wild card. Guess how many games are left in the season?
It's 33.
34.
Yeah.
So 34. That's a decent guess.
All right, Peyton.
34.
It's after 640. I'm surprised you even hit drops at this point.
34 games left, 5.5 back with the afternoon finale today on this station.
Still probably not going to be enough. But there is a stretch on here. Look, if they can show more of what they showed last night in terms of grit and coming up with hits in big moments and big situations, and maybe a little less of the base running blunders, like, you know, Seager not jumping right off the bat with Semien's hit. You had the Duran getting picked off a second, Wyatt rounding third too aggressively on the infield hit. That was a little rough yesterday, some of the base running stuff, but if you can clean that up and hit better in some of those, you know, high leverage situations like they were last night, then yeah, you got a shot.
Brian Schottenheimer yesterday, practice open to the public, Ford Center at the Star in Frisco, says he expects Micah Parsons to be on the field for Week 1.
I mean, I do too. I don't know the context of how that looks. Or I expect him to be available.
Could Micah play out this wink wink back issue throughout regular season games and still get paid?
I think he could. I don't think he's going to do that. I think he's just, I think once the season starts, he'll say, all right, let's go. It's just once the season starts, I don't know if negotiation is going to be able to happen. And if he plays on the option year, I don't think that's good for his future here.
So that's Schottenheimer talking about Micah. Diana Russini was ahead of this story, but for anyone else, I'll never forget it the rest of my life. Driving to LAX, on the way back from Oxnard, Micah could get ready to request a trade. Bam, the Twitter statement comes out. So let's go to Diana Russini for the very latest on the Scoop City Pod.
You can't negotiate a deal if you don't talk. We say it's status quo, but I think it's important to just highlight what's happening here. Even if Micah wanted to open up this negotiation to remain a Dallas Cowboy, the Cowboys are not allowing that because they won't talk to his agent. Like, you can't negotiate a deal if you don't talk. What next, right? Like, what happens here? Somebody's gonna have to give. The agent can't do anything because the owner doesn't want to talk to him. So yeah, it's gonna be on Jerry, if he wants to do the deal, to pick up the phone and say, all right, put that to bed, let's renegotiate. But I don't know if that is gonna happen. I feel like in the past with other deals, I always had belief that Jerry would just put aside the ego and open up the wallet and get the player that he needs on the field. This is going to be a lot of backtracking by him. I don't know if he's going to be willing to do that.
Yeah, that is the complicating factor here. And everybody keeps talking about, well, what, you know, how come we don't have a handle on this? Why aren't you guys able to report? Why haven't you found this out yet? Because nobody knows. I don't think Micah knows if the phone call is going to come. They don't know. It is literally up to Jerry, Steven, Todd Williams, Adam Pacifica, Todd Williams, their director of football administration, and then Adam Pacifica, the salary cap guy. Like, it's on them to decide if they're going to pick up the phone and call, because I don't think Micah's side is calling again. That's done. They're not going to call again, and so it's on the Cowboys to decide if they want to call and reach out, and normally they would. This one feels different. I don't know that they will. So we can actually play a couple of these. There's two of these that really fit. We were watching The Gambler last night, America's Team, The Gambler and his Cowboys. And
because my main objective in this is not to relive all the 90s stuff, even though they're telling it in a very, very well done way. And everyone is going crazy about it and giving it a ton of great reviews, as they should. I wanted to see what we could get from what's happening today in the present, or use something from the past to apply it to today in order to try to make it further into a postseason.
And you absolutely can apply this specific situation. Two things that were here. This first clip here, this is Jerry, Steven, and Emmett talking about Emmett's negotiation, and it sounds exactly like what we're dealing with today.
Contract negotiations are full of ambiguity.
I feel completely disrespected.
But I have a very high tolerance for ambiguity, because I can go longer than most and not have the answer.
Emmett was insulted, and that we were insulting him, and, you know, it just, the tension started to build.
They were $8 million apart, supposedly. Emmett, I guess, was asking for quarterback money. Just even going back to those days to look at what the contracts were, so laughable when you got NBA players making $60 million a year. And Dak, 4 for 17, I think, was the ask. And it eventually got to 4 for 10 for the offer. And Jerry's like, I didn't have the money because of the team finances. Emmett said it was absolutely a distraction. The rest of the team was irritated. All we're talking about is Emmett. I do feel like these Cowboys have not been asked about Micah a ton.
Yeah, I mean, they all got asked.
Like, CD got asked, Dak got asked.
Yeah, right after the request was put in, some people got asked. They just shut it down pretty fast. And it was very clear, like, we're not going to sit here and do this.
Finally got done at 4 for 13, I believe.
Yeah, 4 for 13. It was like 13.
13.
0.5. It was whatever was $100,000 more than Thurman Thomas.
13.6.
And it was something where they finally blink on that. This is why it might be different. There was, and I sent you the screenshot of this last night, and I was like, this is what concerns me about the skirt negotiation with Micah. Jimmy Johnson at the end of the 93 season started publicly flirting with the Jacksonville job when Jacksonville was announced as an expansion team. And
in a Super Bowl year.
Yeah, in a Super Bowl year.
He's Super Bowl asked, press conference.
And he's answering questions about it, like, oh, I mean, I don't know. Could I live without the Cowboys? I don't know. Like, I mean, it was very just so kind of flippant and dismissive. But Jerry talking about that flirtation might be a tie-in to why the Micah thing is a problem.
During that 93 season, when I found out Jimmy was flirting with Jacksonville, not only did that violate league rules and constitute tampering, but I also felt that Jimmy was not loyal, and I couldn't handle the disloyalty.
That ultimately is why this all broke up, is you're not loyal. You're not loyal to me. And if Jerry feels like that handshake deal was blown off,
yeah,
and is a sign of disloyalty, that's a problem, because that shows something he's not willing to let go.
So throughout The Gambler, when you're watching this on Netflix, pay attention to the very few times Jerry says, we. I told you, I told you I'd have your back. He said it with Jimmy. He said it with Irvin, with all the court stuff. Wait till you see the Irvin episode. Holy crap. And he may have said it and believed it with Micah. When they got eliminated against the Packers in what Jerry called his worst loss ever, he went in the locker room and he said to Micah, I love you. Said, I love you to Micah Parsons. And I think he doesn't throw around the words lightly, but when he says it to you and he says, it's us together, I have your back forever, that means you have mine and we don't break that pact. And maybe that's how he's viewing Parsons.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that would explain away a lot of this. When people are talking about like, well, why won't you just call? This is such a weird negotiating tactic. It might not be a negotiating tactic. It might be,
you broke I'm our upset. Friendship.
Yeah, and I haven't gotten over this yet. He hasn't gotten over some of this Jimmy and stuff. Like, when you listen to him, there's a lot that's in the past. And like,
didn't put him in the Ring of Honor forever.
Right. It took a Netflix series for him to put him in the Ring of Honor, which we all asked. You remember we asked it at the time. We're like, what's happening here? There's something. Yeah. The Netflix series had been announced, but we're like, there's something at play here that we just don't know about.
Yeah.
The fact that he still will talk about the just disloyalty or disrespect or this or that, like, that's 32 years later, and he's holding it tightly. And I mean, this Micah thing was 6 months ago. That's concerning, I think, if you're somebody who wants to see a Micah deal get done, because that says Jerry might not get over this quickly, and that might mean there's an expiration date here.
Did we ever get a reason for Deron Bland missing practice yesterday? Trayvon Diggs saying his goal is to be back by like week two or three. What about, where was Bland?
No, I think we're going to get Bland answer today. He was absent for an unknown reason yesterday.
All right, just like Bruce Bochy. 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. Bobby's favorite. Yes, he does have a favorite WNBA player making history.
With her 39, four on the shot clock. Here's Beckers. She's got 41.
Sportsnet TV, as Paige becomes the first rookie this season to drop 40-plus. Bobby, she did it on 17 of 21 shooting. 44 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 for 4 from 3, 17 of 21 in 36 minutes. But Kelsey Plum hits the game winner, and L.A. breaks the heart of the Wings.
And when she hit the game winner, she turned to the crowd and she goes, why are you guys cheering for me? That's so weird. You guys are weirdos. But
the most points in a game by a rookie in WNBA history. Most points in a game by any player this season. The first 40-piece in league history on 80% shooting.
And yet, ESPN is going to just drool and slobber over their desks the next time Caitlin Clark comes back and shoots 2 for 13. And they're like, but look, she hit this logo 3. Look how awesome she is. It's not even close to a comparison. Like, if we're talking about who's a better basketball player, Paige Beckers is better. That's why whenever everybody's like, oh, you just don't like the women's game. That's not it at all. I like them who are actually deserving of the praise, like Paige Beckers. She's fantastic. She's a treat to watch. Caitlin Clark is like, I don't know, Brandon Jennings. She's Brandon Jennings with long hair. That's who she is.
Meanwhile, you brought up a basketball point that I thought was pretty interesting with the retirement of John Wall the other day.
Yeah, so this one was, John Wall's reputation has been one of a guy who's just kind of
gunner.
Yeah, just like, okay, that dude was a disappointment.
Great scorer, and always be on a losing team.
Yeah, and he's somebody who gets just dismissed really easily, I feel like. By the way, this is wild. Somebody pointed this out on Reddit yesterday. ESPN posted a career highlights reel. They posted it. They did not put a single play with the Wizards in there. And people were like, he was great with the Wizards. Was everywhere else. What is that? And they're like, putting any Clippers highlights in there is disrespectful. There's something weird there that they didn't want to put him in there with the Wizards. But it does make me wonder, why is Derek...
Is that the Mavs social media team?
Probably. Why is Derek Rose viewed so much more, like, lovingly by the masses than John Wall is? Like, because to me, I think they're not completely similar players. But John Wall was a better defender. John Wall is a better passer. John Wall was somebody who shot roughly as efficiently as Rose, not totally. Rose is a more explosive athlete. I mean, Rose was a guy who, like, when he got to the, you know, the paint, like, he was a really good scorer in there. The problem to me, though, is just the...
Wall had more, like, 4 more assists a game. He had a steal more a game.
And Rose, look, they both had injuries. They were both explosive 6'3" guards. Like, it's they're both like heralded number one picks.
And Rose ended up with...
Men, are you ready to feel unstoppable again? Join me at Men's T-Clinic to become stronger than ever with the experts on men's health. Men's T-Clinic's dedicated optimization tools are designed to help you meet, maintain, and elevate your total wellness goals across key areas of men's wellness, like hormones, weight, muscle mass, movement, and sexual wellness. It's individualized and comprehensive total wellness through Men's T-Clinic's method, and it's yours for the taking today. 5 DFW locations, flexible hours, and affordable plans. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit Men's T-Clinic. Clinic.com. That's mensTclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Just, you know, 500 more career points. They're both 12,000 plus.
For some reason, Rose gets remembered, and I guess it's just because his injury situation hit earlier in his career than Wall.
He won the MVP.
He did. But to me, I look at that and I go, why? Wall just feels like just a massively disrespected player for some reason in comparison to Rose.
Wall with 200 more blocks as well. And then the games played 723 to 647. So that was an interesting comparison there with John Wall and Derrick Rose.
I mean, do you think of Derrick Rose as just a highlight of missed opportunity? Of just like, man, we missed greatness because just bad luck?
Not really.
I don't typically either, but I know a lot of other people do because he had that MVP season and then he basically got hurt. But to me, I always thought, like, I don't know why Wall doesn't get the same credit. He's almost just dinged for getting hurt.
And Love is like, Rose is loved. He's loved where it was like, John Wall, whatever. Kind of like a poor man's Carmelo, going to score buckets and never be close to the championship. All right, there it is. Recapping the rest of the sports world here with the Thursday edition of Sean and RJ. Choppy out on vacation till next week. We got Bobby Belt, Peyton, and Aiden in the back. Let's go commercial-free with the Expressway. We have the Neighborhood Watch. Bobby needs advice on how to get one of his kids to survive this Texas sports heat. But we got the moment that ended the Dallas Cowboys dynasty. Part 2 of The Gambler on Netflix after this. The most local segment in radio, The Neighborhood Watch, is coming up at 7:40, commercial-free with The Expressway here on Sean and Bobby. Choppy will be back next week. We're live on the Fan Camp, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks for being a Tolo. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. And tonight you can join our team and participate in Fan Phenom. Jake's in Fort Worth, I believe Zach Wolchuk will be hosting. G-Bag will be out there doing their show after Rangers baseball.
Yeah, you guys should hit Zach with just a bunch of trolling Stafford content. Like, I think when you sit down for your content, you should just tell him, like, yeah, I want to just do why Stafford is a bum, and then watch him, like, freak out and short circuit.
All right, we continue with our review of The Gambler on Netflix. We're trying to go basically through two episodes.
There we go. Got my shoe on.
So far today, Bobby's hat in the back has been turned inside out. He just did whatever he did right there. You're standing up for some reason the entire show.
My back is killing me. My back is, it's not well. It's not well. And it's starting to mess with my walk a little bit.
Yeah.
Which I know Fantex doctors out there are going to start going like, oh, no, your walk. Like, you're going to, like, basically have your spinal cord severed soon. It's not that. I got to show. I lean so far on the outside of my feet when I walk, just because of, like, the way that I move, that if you look at my shoes, it's got a, it's wearing through the side from where my pinky toes are, like, busting out. Here, I'm going to show you right now. I'm actually going to walk over there.
Look at this.
All right, he's walking over here right now.
You see how you see my sock through the shoe?
Yeah, I see your pinky toe.
And then that one, same one. It's wearing out the shoe. I pronate so bad.
Pronate?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you gone to a back doctor?
Yeah, I got to be better about doing the exercises that go with it. But the problem is it's called a bilateral pars defect. I literally have little fractures on both sides of my spine at the bottom. And it's probably eventually, as one of the listeners told me at a firehouse tour who is a physical therapist, they're like, that's nice that you're doing the exercises. To be honest, that kind of thing usually just eventually needs surgery. So that's probably what's going to end up happening at some point.
There it is. Bobby Belt standing up throughout the entire show on the fan cam. Let's get back into the gambler.
Yeah, so episode 3, which we ran through, was the 92 NFC Championship game, basically, and then them getting through to the Super Bowl and how great that was. Episode 4 starts off with...
So Pepe, with episode 3, because did you watch two more yesterday?
Yes.
I want your continued perspective because, you know, I lived through it. Bobby was younger, but you're the youngest. You were born after the championships were won. So you're a new Cowboy fan looking back to the past. What did you think of that episode 3?
Well, I understand the 49ers-Cowboys rivalry a little bit more. You know, you had the team of the 80s with the 49ers winning, I believe, 4 Super Bowls there. And then the Cowboys kind of took over that in the 90s, winning 3. So I understood that a little bit more. I mean, I know why people hate that Jerry Jones fired Jimmy Johnson. Because of what he changed that team completely. He changed the culture and everything. I know we talk a lot about culture with Brian Schottenheimer, but what Jimmy Johnson did with that team was incredible. And the fact that, you know, they fired him, and then it was obviously the tease going into episode 5. I almost had to stay up and watch one more because it was the Jerry loyalty thing about firing Jimmy Johnson. I was like, dang it, I need to watch one more. So I'll watch 5 and 6 probably today. And then Charles Haley. I mean, that's one of my new favorite Cowboys. That guy is mean, man.
Yes.
He is mean. And he was on the 49ers, then joined the Cowboys there, kind of switched rivalries. I couldn't imagine if something like that. Like, it's almost like I don't want it to happen, but if it's like if Micah went to the Eagles, I feel like.
I lean on Luka to the Lakers.
I won't say who. There was a player who I talked to one time who said they were a rookie, and Charles he was relentless to the rookies. But he said when he was a rookie that he was done with practice and he went in the shower and he was showering up, and Haley apparently told all the veterans, like, y'all get out when he gets in the shower. And so he got the shower, and Haley just walked up behind him and just started brushing the back of his scalp just to mess with him in the shower. Just he kept going, boy, you're so pretty. And like, he was like, that was Charles would mess with you until you push back. And then went, all right, I can go to war with him. He's like, but if you didn't push back, he was going to be relentless.
Sounds like a living nightmare if you were on the bad side. And then wanted to pick on you.
I think one more thing. It was Steve Young he was diving out of bounds or something. His helmet came off and Charles continue to tackle him too without a helmet on. It's like, oh, I knew he didn't have a helmet on, but I wanted to hurt him.
You finish up, you get the Super Bowl, which, gosh, part of this too, I just watched and go, the poor Buffalo Bills, poor Jim Kelly. Jim Kelly sitting there.
I love that team.
At the end of the fourth one, and going like, I never know what it felt like to sit in a locker room after you won a Super Bowl. Like, I'll never know what that is. And it's like, gosh, I hate it for Jim Kelly because I loved him as a player. But they talk about it, how they win that game. They go into 93. They obviously have the Emmett holdout, which we played a clip from earlier. And that one got nasty. And, you know, a lot of the same stuff you've heard in other negotiations. I don't see it getting done anytime soon. Maybe I will have to go somewhere else. It's a lot of the same stuff
ambiguity
you've heard before. Yeah, it's 30 years later. It's the same way. But they go through the 93 season, and they go on a tear when Emmett comes back after they'd started 0-2. And they get into the 93 NFC Championship game. And I remember...
And they still won the NFC East.
Yeah, and so when you, and then that was the famous Emmett separated shoulder game, Giants, where he comes back in and just kind of plays through it. Boy, between the Tyron Smith knee brace for the elbow and then the, Emmett, we can take two pads and like basically turn them into a little semicircle and just place that on your shoulder. Like they are MacGyvering things for their players to get back out there.
That's kind of like, that's the real Willis Reed game.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of other games with injury. Paul Pierce. That was fake. I'm trying to think of other games where someone just came back and totally gutted it with a legit injury with that shoulder he had.
Byron Leftwich getting carried down the field with the broken ankle, basically. And that, the one I always think of is Isaiah Thomas, where he hurt his ankle or his knee or whatever, and he was shooting jumpers off of one leg and bouncing the rest of the way.
This Emmett thing, I mean, that was heroic.
They didn't have my favorite shot. Kristen was watching it with me. I was like, ooh, my favorite shot's coming up. Watch, which is, and they didn't have it in there. It's the one where he comes back on the field and they throw a little screen pass to him and his arm's so bad, he's just like catching stuff with one arm and then turning around and running upfield. But super gutsy performance. They get into that game against San Francisco, and again, you get the put it in 3-inch headlines. Ooh. We will win the game. Jimmy talked about driving around.
He was listening to Randy Galloway.
And he heard old Randy Galloway, and he goes, hey, you know what? I'm going to call in, and I'm just going to put this out there for him. And he said, put in 3-inch headlines. We will win the ball game. They didn't lose this game. They beat the hell out of San Francisco. And that was the year when you talk to most people who were back there covering teams back then, a lot of people say 92, Dallas might have beaten a team that was better than them when they beat San Francisco in that 92 NFC Championship game. San Francisco was really good. You might have beaten a team that was probably better. 93, everybody agrees looking back on it. They'll say, no, Dallas was better than San Francisco that year. And, man, they beat them and get in their head. But to hear the story of Aikman getting knocked out with the concussion, and he talks about it. He's like, the hit doesn't look that bad.
Need a helmet.
And he said, I get knocked out. He said, the last thing I remember from that game, he's like, to this day, is the scuffle in the tunnel before the game. And he goes, so I go to the sideline. Aikman talks about going to the sideline, seeing Mark Stepnoski, who had been out for 6 weeks, and telling him, why aren't you in uniform? And he goes, why am I not in uniform? And Stepnoski was like, go get the doctor. There's something wrong with him. And so he ends up going into the hospital. He talks about repeating the same questions to Lee Steinberg, his agent, over and over again. And he just writes them down eventually. So, like, here, this is your reference pad.
Yeah.
Memento.
He's getting annoyed.
But to hear him talking about...
Then waking up the next day to watch the game. Watching
it and going like, damn, I was playing good.
Yeah.
And he doesn't remember a bit of it.
Yeah. 38-21.
That was insane. Just to hear him. And that's got to be terrifying. Like to sit there and go like, I have no recollection of doing this, and
terrifying,
I'm playing the best
now.
Football. Yeah, like even now.
All the concussions that he had.
100%. But the big thrust of this episode is, and to me anyway, the power in this episode is the last 15 minutes, where we're leading up to what is going to be in episode 5, the divorce. And
all this leading up also was where Jerry got you. It was making me sick a little bit watching the Cowboys explode in notoriety and the attention and all the late night show appearances, and that's Jerry's just sitting there smiling going, that's where the value is. And I was like, no, 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 no. Make it a soap opera year round with the explosion of popularity. And he's like, this is it. This is where the value is. And that's how and why he has made them the number one most popular team despite not winning.
We heard the last segment, we heard the disloyalty clip, that Jimmy started flirting with the Jacksonville job, and Jerry's like, I couldn't stand the disloyalty. It was too much.
That was so disrespectful publicly.
Oh, yeah.
So disrespectful. Jimmy was an irritant.
I'm stunned. Costa's sitting there doing an interview with them Super Bowl week, and he's like, do you respect his football knowledge? He goes, as an owner, absolutely. And he goes, but you don't think he's as smart as you? And he goes, no. with him sitting right there.
Could have answered it by being like, Bob, I'm a coach. He's an owner. There's no way it could happen. But he answered in a disrespectful way. But to Jerry's discredit, the first question from Costas was, you just told Frank DeFord that Jimmy couldn't coach worth an S or something.
Coach the S out of this team. Jerry said that.
Yeah. So he's having it. You have to be uncomfortable sitting there watching this on your television, that they're next to each other answering questions. Why even do that interview? Why even sit there and do that interview? And then Super Bowl press conference, Jimmy is not dismissing interest in Jacksonville. Can you live with that? The Cowboys? He's like, yeah, I don't know, maybe.
So this apparently, the first seed of this going really poorly began during the 1993 draft. And Jimmy Johnson says that it was the first time they'd put cameras in the war room. ESPN had approached the Cowboys and said, hey, can we get cameras in the war room? Can we put them on? Jerry was like, yeah, I bet people would love to see that. Let's do it. And that's where Jimmy said the problems began.
And he said, you know, when you're making a trade or when you're doing something, you know, reach over and talk to me so we can go over it because the camera's going to be on us.
Now that just didn't happen. There was no acting in the draft room. Before any trade, I discussed it with everybody in the room. And so I was involved and every decision that was made. It just kind of hit me wrong. I wasn't in this thing for show. When I went to the Cowboys, we put in my contract that I would be in charge of drafting, trading players, and I'd have total responsibility.
Men, are you ready to feel unstoppable again? Join me at Men's T Clinic to become stronger than ever with the experts on men's health. Men's T Clinic's dedicated optimization tools are designed to help you meet, maintain, and elevate your total wellness goals across key areas of men's wellness, like hormones, weight, muscle mass, movement, and sexual wellness. It's individualized and comprehensive total wellness through Men's T Clinic's method, and it's yours for the taking today. Five DFW locations, flexible hours, and affordable plans. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
Possibility of that, and nothing could be done without my prior approval.
None of Jimmy's agreements ever gave him any authority to draft anybody. He had no authority in the draft.
I hate it when he misinterprets the facts.
I have never, on any circumstances, confused who had the right to make the call. Ultimately, I made those decisions.
Show the contract, one of you.
That's exactly what I was. Do neither one of them have a copy of it anymore?
Right.
Like, I would think somebody would.
Show the paperwork.
But, I mean, these are not small, just, like, misremembering of details. These are flat out, like, oh, no, he's, that's one guy saying, the other guy's lying, basically.
That's an embarrassing, Jimmy's embarrassing Jerry right there with that accusation. Talk to me. Make me look like I'm involved in the draft pick. Have a fake consultation with me. That's embarrassing.
Which, if he really said it, I would understand Jimmy being mad. And yeah. I'm not saying he didn't. I'm not saying, and he clearly didn't. I'm just saying there's clearly a he said, she said of them talking about two wildly different ways that something went down.
Yeah.
To the point of contract language they completely disagree on, conversations they had in the war room they completely disagree on.
Yeah.
There's still hurt feelings that even to this day, when Jimmy's looking very serious, and he said it very slowly, like when McClain Way told us, he said, each time they talk about each other, you can tell they're really thinking about what they say.
Yeah.
And
they both stopped and started. I don't know whether you've gotten to the episodes yet. They both were like, let me do a do-over. Let me do a start-over.
Oh, no, I have not seen that yet. Yeah. So Jimmy goes, when he's answering that one, and you hear him almost put a period at the end of each word, and he goes, I hate when he misinterprets facts. And it's like, that's still to this day, like you can still see the tension is there. They still to this day just will not agree on that. But that had built and built and built. And it all culminated. They win the Super Bowl. They're up there. They're hugging each other. Jimmy's going, I know people were confused about us and everything else, but here we are, another Super Bowl. And
by
Jerry,
the way, the player I want to point out in that is James Washington.
He's such a badass.
James Washington. I know that Larry Allen gets the MVP attention, and you know Larry Allen been nice to the station coming on. I didn't realize the plays that James Washington
Larry Brown.
Larry Brown, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and that was in Super Bowl 30. So in Super Bowl 28,
yeah.
Emmitt got it. But they, like a lot of the players they won't generally say it in front of a microphone, but off the record, they'll tell you, they'll sit there and go, James Washington should have won MVP that game. Yeah. Like he was the guy who flipped it around. Darren Woodson
throughout the season.
Darren Woodson told a great story to me one time that he had said that when they got into the locker room, Jimmy gives that speech in the locker room of Super Bowl 28 that they talk about, of him just saying like, guys, I know you're going to go out there and kick their ass because you're better than them. And Darren Woodson told me they were in that locker room and they were a little tense and they were stressed. And he said the DBs were kind of hanging out. And Darren said that James Washington walked up and he goes, hey, he said, UMFers get on my back. I got this. And then he goes out there and he did it. And Darren Woodson said when they got into the postgame locker room, he's like, hey, thanks for carrying us, buddy. He's like, thanks for letting us ride your back in here. And so he was, James Washington locked in. James Washington was a character. I don't know if they'll get into it. 94, he swung a tripod at Giants players during a scuffle after Alvin Harper got hurt on Monday Night Football. Anyway, we're doing the America's Team documentary, The Gambler and His Cowboys. And this is the moment that is now leading into episode 5 that basically was the final blow to their relationship. And it's Jimmy Johnson is at the league meetings, the owners' meetings, and he's hanging out with Dave Wannstedt and Norv Turner, two guys who were previously on the staff who have left now. Norv Turner took the job with Washington. Dave Wannstedt was with the Bears. And as they're standing there drinking, Jerry's walking by their setup, and they have a fateful interaction.
We're sitting there, and Jerry came over, and obviously it had something to drink. We both had something to drink.
The night as I remember it, it was a glancing by chance meeting, they were familiar faces. So I raised my glass that I was walking with and said, here's to our Super Bowl win.
So I grabbed my drink and everybody grabs their drink and we start putting it up to toast Jerry. And we look and Jimmy's sitting there basically with his arms folded and there's no toast.
One of the advantages of knowing someone for years and years and years is you often can communicate with nothing but eyes. No word has to come out, but you're talking to me, baby. We're talking.
I loved that interaction. When they are explaining that story and you see Jerry talking about it, that is Jerry saying, I saw something in his face that night that was more disrespectful than anything before.
You may see it in Jimmy gives a couple of those looks in the documentary. That could have been the look.
Yes.
It's a death stare.
It's when they, because as they're talking about this and you hear that music playing, they're panning down on Jimmy in his chair.
Yeah.
And he's giving you this just glare of just like.
It looks like a serial killer.
And that's I loved that line from Jerry though, where he goes, you're talking to me, baby. We're talking.
Now, Nick Eatman added context to this yesterday. Nick said they were also sitting with some other coaches that had just been fired. So Jimmy felt awkward, like, oh, there it is. Here's the guy who fired my buddy sitting right next to me. Nick added that context, but Wannstedt didn't include that.
No, it's
out. And Jimmy didn't include that.
It makes me wonder if, like, Jimmy's remembering it as it's two people who recently left. And it was Norv and Wannstedt who weren't there anymore, but they were not fired. Yeah, they got jobs.
Right.
They got head coaching jobs. And so.
And after this is when Jerry went to Werder and Goose.
Yeah. And that's the way Werder talks about it. And we've heard the story before. He tells guys like, hey, don't run off. Like he basically tells Werder
and Goose are leaving. Jerry grabs Werder's pants and says, don't go anywhere. I'm about to give you the story of the year.
Yeah. And Werder is, they're both walking out. And the reason they're walking out, Werder had said it was getting wildly uncomfortable in there how mad Jerry was. Like you could sense Jerry's upset about something and this is just awkward right now. We're not getting anything out of this. let's go ahead and head out, media. So the media said, now,
why would you head out?
And he stops them, just those two, and says, no, you two stay. We're going to talk, okay? Ooh. And Ed goes, well, what's the story of the year? And Jerry says, according to Ed, I'm going to fire that mother effer Jimmy Johnson, that disloyal bee. And it's like, and that's that till when you see everything that built up to it. And again, whether he's, it's all about perspective. Jimmy's got a certain perspective that says this is how the interaction went. Jerry's got a certain perspective that says this is how the interaction went
with alcohol.
Truth is somewhere in the middle, right? But for Jerry, from Jerry's perspective, if he believes it went down that way, you have to like think
Jimmy
that,
gave him the middle finger in Jerry's mind in front of everyone.
And he's like, this is like the fifth time this is that I've been disrespected in front of people. I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
Jerry broke. Whether his perspective was right or wrong, something had clearly built up in his perspective where he was like, this is, I'm not tolerating this anymore. And I do lean a little bit when you said, who do you think is more responsible? Yes, McClain way that the other day. I think I probably lead. It's definitely on both of them, but I feel like it might be 60-40 Jimmy.
I feel like Jerry was annoying behind the scenes of, hey, what about that tight end? And you'll see a scene with Switzer at practice where Jerry's now out with the coaches, and it's so eye-rolly. That's incumbent upon everyone else to kind of be quiet and just be like, let him stand there, whatever. We know he's not a coach. And he's saying something to Barry like, and what do you think about doing this with the tight end? And Barry is mic'd, and he goes, Jerry, I'll make those decisions. Jimmy couldn't handle that. Jimmy couldn't placate Jerry. But Jerry doing that, I think, was more behind the scenes, and Jimmy was publicly disrespectful and defiant.
Yeah, it was just one of those things where it's...
It was in public.
Everybody, I think, nationally, the perspective was that Jimmy had done this. Jimmy had built the team. Like, I don't think anybody like really thought it was Jerry had built it. The public perception felt like...
I don't know. Bayless said in the beginning that he gave Jerry, a lot of credit, but you're giving him credit for how fast this happened in 5 years and turning, being the joke of sports to the heroes.
Yeah, and I think that's more just like giving him credit for the idea of, we thought you were inept, and yeah, you clearly weren't inept. You held things down. But the thing was, Jimmy couldn't live with Jerry thinking he did it. He didn't. Everybody could have told him, Jimmy, it was you. Yeah. Nobody thinks it was Jerry. Jerry taking the credit, or Jerry thinking he had any credit, Jimmy couldn't placate it. And he was like, no, I can't do it.
And that is why one of the things I'll remember, a lot of times in these sports documentaries, I'll take something, I'll remember it for life. Red Auerbach, failing to prepare, is preparing to fail. There's a sign that Jerry said he had on his desk. I think everyone should remember this. I'll remember it forever. If you're willing to give others credit, you'll conquer the world if you're willing to give others credit. And they both failed. I want to know when that desk, when that sign was on the desk, and if it's still on the desk. He had the sign there.
And when he says it,
if you're willing to give others credit.
When he says it, it almost, you feel like he's building to a moment of, and I just didn't do that. I wasn't willing to give it. Like, you think he's built, but no, he's building towards of like, and Jimmy wouldn't share the credit with me. And that was what was so bad. And I was like, oh, okay, it's still coming back to this at the end.
And then Jerry goes home after the divorce. Were you here when he goes home and lays in bed with Gene? All right, we'll save that.
Yeah,
I've messed up my number recaps. It's not good. So I'll rely on Bobby for that. So that is 3 and 4 of The Gambler on Netflix. Let's get into the watch.
We need to take people out of their bubbles and their safe place and make them think about the world we live in.
You are fake news.
So what do you guys hear? What's the scuttlebutt?
The war is over, people. The war has ended. The long-standing war.
Trump solved it.
That has existed. Well, no, it's not that one. The Texas war against measles is officially over. Okay. So we did it, people. What was it? It was 8 months to flatten the curve. Is how long it took. We had January, the measles outbreak began. And I felt like that, honestly, when I started putting in the emails, like, okay, so that was like last spring, right? Last 2024.
Yeah.
I didn't remember that had happened this year already, but that one, it felt like.
I never really got scared over that one, even though I should be.
They were talking about it like, yeah, we were all going to, it was going to wipe us out.
I think Choppy has desensitized me to any medical outbreak and scare because he's sending one a week, along with his Gen Z stories.
How bad was he during Ebola?
I don't even remember.
I just realized, so not that, because Ebola was the one where it was like, it's really hard to get in contact with it, basically. But if you do, you're dead. And so I could just see Choppy being like, we're all dying. We like, I mean, it's right here in our community. Yeah. We're going to go. So I could see him do that. But Texas has declared the measles outbreak is over. Even though they were a little worried about it back in January, they have ultimately calmed things down, gotten things straight. So that was a positive right there. So I had gone to the game on Saturday night.
Well.
And while I was down there, and we were down on the field area, thanks to Tim Collins for the hookup there. We were down there, and I saw Trayvon Diggs putting his phone up and filming and laughing and go, that's crazy. And I looked over, I was like, what's going on over here? So I looked, and there was a gentleman standing there who was in a Trayvon Diggs jersey. And I was like, okay, why is he freaking out over a Diggs jersey? Is that enough to think that there's something crazy here? Well, it turned out that he was taking a photo of the back of this guy's jersey, which said D's Nuts, number 7 on it. And he's like, how did you get that? And Diggs is talking to him about it, and he's like, well, you signed. He's like, yeah, but I got to take a picture first. So he sees it.
D's Nuts.
He takes a picture and gives him the autograph. It's great. He's thrilled about
and that's
this.
From the whole Mike Leslie incident.
Yes. And so this guy walked up. He said, oh, I enjoy listening to y'all on the station. You know, I was like, oh, that's great. Thanks so much. His wife, Ashley, DM'd me yesterday.
Oh.
And she said, hey, met you at the game the other day. My husband had the D's Nuts jersey on. I was like, oh, yeah, that was hilarious. And he said, yeah, Diggs signed it. He's like, we got it stolen from the stadium that night.
What?
I was like, what? Stolen. And so I guess he'd worn it down there, and they were in a suite somewhere. He had taken it off, and he had put it on the chair, and somebody swiped it in the course of the night. So he's a listener. They shout out. They're like, if you could just like put the word out there, if anybody sees a D's Nuts number 7 jersey, that's signed by Diggs, that came.
Don't take it off the person's back who's wearing it.
So if you happen to see that, you guys can shoot me a DM on social media if you've run it down.
Just put out a D's Nuts Amber Alert.
Yeah, Bobby. Instead of the weren't, it's D's. I think that's good. Okay, so we had a sad story come out yesterday, and we're doing Neighborhood Watch here on 105 Through the Fan. A high school football player in Lancaster passed away after what the school is calling a medical emergency at practice. And whenever you hear a player has a medical emergency at practice, you automatically start thinking, okay, in Texas, we could be talking heat exhaustion, heat stroke, something like that. The 15-year-old player, Preston Malone, was a sophomore student at Lancaster Early College High School. And according to a release sent out by Lancaster ISD, during football practice on Monday, Malone, a junior varsity student athlete, told the coach he was not feeling well, and athletic trainers began to treat him following the UIL heat safety protocols. So what they did, they put him in a cold tub, got him his body temperature normalized, then they put him in the, you know, an ambulance, and on Wednesday he passed away. And this is something that has come up recently with Kristen and I, where Kristen will say, like, how are we... And I know you've mentioned it before. She's like, what exactly are the regulations? Like, who's enforcing regulations for like heat protocols at the schools?
Right.
So because this year Addison is doing she's doing athletics. So she wanted to play basketball. So because of that, you got to do all the different athletics tryouts and sign up for things and do different things. So they are running 1.5 miles every day. It's one of the things that they have to do every day as part of the athletics course.
Every day, 1.5 miles?
Every day they have to run 1.5 miles. No walking, no jogging, you're running.
Wow.
So it is 1.5 miles. It's 3 laps around the track.
I think my wife is probably in the car. This is not a good segment for her to hear.
Yeah. And so Kristen was telling me the other day, she's like, Addison keeps coming home, and she's like, her whole body's like red. It's not just her face. She's red. It's hot. She's like, it's been like 109, I feel like, out there in terms of heat index, basically. So we started looking it up and looking around because we didn't run into this with Jacob very much because he was welding. He did football a little bit in middle school, but this wasn't really an issue of it. We had to worry about the concussion thing more with him. But we started looking it up, and apparently the specific regulation is if it's over 105 to 109 degrees, then the middle school will cancel practices for the day.
Over 105?
It says 105 to 109, depending on the humidity. And so that's the regulation that exists, at least for this school that we're at. And so we've just been talking about that recently. And then she came home yesterday, and yesterday was not as hot. But I was home yesterday when she got back, and Kristen was gone. And she was, I'm not kidding, like, she was as red as this bag.
No.
Like, all over. And she came in, and she's, like, kind of sniffling. I'm like, what's up? And she's like, I hurt my ankle on the second run around the track, and I had to keep going. I was like, well, did you tell the coach?
Yeah.
She's like, no. was like,
the coach not see her limping around while running the mile?
And I was like, why didn't you say anything? And then she's like, because I think, you know, she would just tell us to keep going and blah, blah. And it's like, okay, well, if you're going to keep going anyway, say something so that I can have the information on hand that she didn't give the right answer when you told her.
Yeah.
But we did, like, she got down. I gave her, like, I was putting all the, like, I got some cold towels and I was just like, here, put these on, cool yourself off or whatever. Put your ankle up. Let's put ice on your ankle. Do whatever. And it took, like, and yesterday wasn't even as hot as the other day. It took, like, a good 10 minutes before I felt, like, her skin temperature cool down, even with, like, ice being put on and other things. And so now Kristen immediately came home and she's like, oh, don't freak out. Don't, like, rage. Like, don't, like, she's like, just can we go to the school and just say, like, hey, what's the rules here? And I was like, I'll do that. But she's just worried that my natural reaction is going to be to snap.
Yeah.
And to go off. But this is now I don't know how to handle exactly.
So this is one of those things I'm really worried about in terms of being like the soft, overprotective parent versus Texas. You know, Texas toughness. This is how they're forged. This is how they're molded. And this is where the Fantex is invaluable right now. For your advice or your thoughts at 877-881-1053. Franklin Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053. You want to protect your kid from being a news story and dying versus protecting them from not getting made fun of, that you're stepping in and saying, no, I have the Sharif heat index, okay? If it is over 99 degrees, my kid's not going out there. But then they get made fun of. Are you being too soft? Like RJ's kid catching, that to me is tough as S. Catching in the heat with all the gear on, with all this summer league baseball. What's the answer, y'all? What is the answer? Pepe, you grew up here. You know, playing the sports.
By the way, 4-6. Who's going to tell Bobby a mile and a half is 6 laps? Not 3. Whatever. I don't know how many laps.
I know Bobby's got a bad back.
I assumed it was on 3. So you guys can all, like, seriously, Scott Braun, like, F yourselves off the fan text right now who are bitching about this. You guys can all let them
know. About what?
About the, like, it's 6, not 3, so this is a made-up story. Blah.
What do y'all do? What do y'all do with your kid's health and the heat?
I'm taking all your numbers right now.
It's so scary because it feels like this happens every year now. Because all these practices in high school, they're in the afternoon. High school starts too early to start in the morning. I think 7th grade, when I played football in middle school, we had it in the morning, and the 8th grade was in the afternoon. So you had a little bit of chance there. But, like, I mean, it's scary, and it's one of those things that, thinking back then, I didn't think of many times there were like water breaks or anything like that. It was like, okay, you get water whenever you can.
Yeah.
But in football, you're in pads and everything. Like, so people are trying to sneak water. And yeah, I mean,
I have a feeling my wife.
I want all of you on the Fantex right now to go. I want all of you on the Fantex right now to go reach out to that kid's family in Lancaster and tell them like how that's just soft. I want all of you right now to do it. And all of you guys being total like a tough guy, whatever, from your god pickup truck or whatever. Whatever else. You guys are going to make me lose my mind on you. Like, all of you. This is not a tough situation. Like, this is about toughness or whatever else. Your damn core body temperature is not what that's about.
This is the problem with dealing with it.
Loser with your Oakleys all right, on and all your right, pickup.
Enough. So that's the problem with dealing with it versus, you know, your kid getting the heat and the pressure and other parents allowing it and then you trying to do what's right safety-wise. My dad hears this too. Him and my wife, they'll be just shutting down any athletic endeavors for both kids. All right, it is the Neighborhood Watch with the commercial-free Expressway on DFW Sports Station. Where are the Cowboys starting off the year in the power rankings? How low can they go? That is next.
Men, are you ready to feel unstoppable again? Join me at Men's T Clinic to become stronger than ever with the experts on men's health. Men's T Clinic's dedicated optimization tools are designed to help you meet, maintain, and elevate your total wellness goals across key areas of men's wellness, like hormones, weight, muscle mass, movement, and sexual wellness. It's individualized and comprehensive total wellness through Men's T Clinic's method, and it's yours for the taking today. 5 DFW locations, flexible hours, and affordable plans. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.